It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
This episode of the Yankees Magazine podcast is brought to you by the MLB app. Yankees baseball is always live with the MLB app. Follow the action with game tracking and video highlights, along with up-to-the-moment stats, standings, breaking news, and more. Download the MLB app today. It's your number one app for Yankees baseball. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Yankees Magazine podcast. It is Thursday, June 4th right now. I have to point out it is one day before my daughter Ava's fifth birthday, so that's pretty exciting. I'm John Schwartz. I'm the deputy editor of Yankees Magazine. With me right now, we have our editor-in-chief, Al Sanasiri.
Happy birthday, Ava.
Thank you very much. I'll pass that along.
Please do.
And of course, also joining us, we have our executive editor, Nathan Makaborski.
Hello, everybody, and happy birthday, Ava. Five is a big year.
It is. She'll be very excited to hear this. She is a religious listener to the Yankees Magazine podcast.
And I'm sure a huge Yankees fan, too.
Absolutely. She can't get enough of it. So, obviously, you know, we could start this the way we always do by saying, hey, how you guys doing and what's going on? And I think everyone knows the answer right now is that no one's doing really great. And never have I wanted baseball more than right now, just because everything else is pretty terrible. Guys, though, I am pretty gratified, if you will, by the fact that we are still getting to work on some baseball stuff, work on preparing for whatever might be with the 2020 season, and also going through the archives the way we have been. Nate, you've been doing a lot of work lately in terms of looking through some Yankees Magazine history and finding some great pieces that we've been able to put up on the yankees.com/magazine site.
Been kind of enjoyable. I have a pretty robust library of Yankees magazines back issues here at home, so I figured while we're kind of on pause here in terms of no current, you know, baseball to write about, I just kind of started going through some of our older stuff and was reminded of some of the great stories that we've written in years past. And so since our stories just started going online, I guess about 4 or 5 years ago, I kind of identified some stories from years prior that I thought are kind of evergreen, you know, stories that I feel like while Yankees fans are patiently waiting here to see what happens with the 2020 season, might help them kill a little time and remember, you know, what it is about Yankees baseball that we enjoy so much.
It's times like this, I feel like, when you realize that it's not simply the fastballs and the hit and runs and things like that you love about baseball. And I think for me, the reason I know this is, and we've addressed this before, but, you know, I can't get into the Korean baseball like I had hoped I would, or like I even wanted to. And I think the reason is because it's about, baseball's about the traditions and your personal connection to it. It's for the same reason I'm not finding there to be that huge of a difference between Korean baseball and NASCAR or UFC. They're things that are on right now, but I can't just force myself to care out of nowhere. And I think I really expected that I would be able to right away. And part of that, I feel at least, it lies directly in the two most recent stories that you chose to put up, Nate. You know, one of them about Freddie Says, may his memory be a blessing. The characters like that around the stadium, that's what makes going to Yankee Stadium special. It's not the baseball. It's what's around you. I mean, watching baseball on TV is pretty great, but when you're there and you get to feel those experiences of, you know, in the past, something like Freddy, currently, you know, the judges' chambers or the bleacher creatures, that's what we're missing right now. Baseball will be back, we know, but it's these experiences night after night after night that I find is what I'm really missing.
I agree with both of you guys. Nate, you've done a great job of identifying some really special stories. And I know many, many years ago, I was thinking about this today, you know, something I start kind of bragging about was kind of the breadth of Yankees Magazine and how we cover, you know, the Yankees in every way, shape, or form, and not just in a conventional way. But I remember stories besides the one on Freddie Says, which is, you know, a kind of a, you know, a famous and important fan in the stadium. But we did a story on the sod that was, you know, that's used at the stadium. We've done stories on the bats and you know, having done a story in Louisville Slugger Company. We've done stories on really every facet of what makes Yankee Stadium go, what makes the Yankees the Yankees. And there's a lot of uncovered things that people don't even think about that we've brought to light. So the Freddie Says story really, I think, was a great example of that. And I'm glad that people have a chance to read it again.
Yeah, you know, I think, John, you might have done the one on how the plaques are made, right? And how it's been the same company producing the plaques in Monument Park all these years.
That was so much fun.
Yeah. But, you know, to go back to what you kind of alluded to, John, I think what we're all sort of craving right now and missing is that sense of community. Sometimes the game becomes such that you end up slapping five and getting to know some of the people, and it might just be for nine innings, but those are part of the memories that just, you know, they seem so distant now, but when you think about them, it's really what we're missing on so many levels. So, you know, when I read the Freddie Says story, which was written by Craig Tapper, who was a longtime editor for us, he's since moved on, but it came out in 2009, I believe. I was just reminded of that. And Freddie Says was so ingrained in Yankee Stadium. I mean, he was this guy who would be at every home game with his homemade signs and always positive, always cheering on the Yankees. And he would hold up the signs, and attached to it was the pan that had a four-leaf clover on it for good luck. And he would traverse the stands, and he had a spoon that he would hand to fans, and you would grab the spoon and tap on the pan, and it was supposed to bring the Yankees good luck. And just one of those kind of unique Yankee Stadium traditions. And, you know, it was far from the only one. You know, you think about everything from the roll call to the two-strike clap, YMCA, everything that makes Yankee Stadium unique. It's both fun and sad to think about stories like that right now.
I also feel like it's really important to be mindful, even in times like this that are obviously, you know, very, very uncertain, that, you know, while there is that uncertainty, and I know we talked about this the last time, you know, while there is that uncertainty, you know, baseball is going to return. We don't know when, we don't know how, but it is going to return. And, you know, ultimately, so many of the things that we are yearning for now, we're going to get. I just wanted to offer that at least positive opinion, which is maybe all that it is at this point, but that's certainly how I feel, and certainly something that's a motivator for me these days.
One thing that I keep going back to, Nate, because you just mentioned this about the community in your section, I've never been a huge hugger. I don't know what it is, but I am like a world-class high-fiver. and you know, it just occurred to me all the times, like one of my favorite things at a baseball game is whenever there's a home run or anything like that, to look to someone who I've never met, never spoken to, tap them on the shoulder and make sure we give a high five to each other and then smile. And Al, you're right, baseball is going to come back. I wonder if that's going to come back, though. And that makes me a little sad right now. That's not the big tragedy of the day, obviously, but it is certainly at this moment easy to talk about all the things that we will get back eventually someday. It is worth also, I think, just pointing out, you know, just some things probably are never going to be exactly the same. And I think it's going to take a lot of getting used to. I think the best we can do, though, in the moment is do everything possible to get back the things we can get back. But I think the other thing we need to do is also cherish these things in the moment a little better and recognize what we have and recognize what we love and celebrate the things we love. I was talking to my neighbor the other day. And I don't even remember what the subject was. I think, honestly, it was about the fact that I had no idea he was a big Fish fan, which I used to be. But he was saying he's been spending a lot of his time, Fish the band, not the food, although he likes Fish the food too. He said, you know, he's never going to not go to a concert again. He's never going to just say, eh, I'm too busy to do this, or I don't really want to do this. And it really made me think of all the times. Sure, you know, a lot of times it's a money issue. A lot of times it's a family childcare issue or whatever. But how many times do we just like say no to doing something that will bring us joy? And there's still going to be times that we can't do the things. But I know for me personally, it's just, you know, whether it's baseball or whether it's anything else, I hope that I come out of this with an appreciation of the things that we get to do and a determination to do as much as I can.
I haven't run enough races in the last couple of years. You just made me realize that. I gotta just be a little bit more aggressive, I think. I let too many of them slip by. Now, I agree with you, though. I mean, it's true. You know, I feel the same way. There's certain things I look at that, you know, not even taking for granted or not doing them, but like, I just thought, oh, you know, I'll do it when I have time to do it. I'll do it next year. I'll do it this, you know, and, you know, that's the feeling I have. Sometimes you have to seize the moment because maybe those opportunities aren't going to be there. And that's really important. And more so now than ever. I will say, as a parent, and you guys are parents as well, you know, Father's Day is coming up soon here, a couple of weeks. You know, there are things we are very, very fortunate to have had all of us time with our children that I can't even imagine we would have come close to having prior to this. And that's been, at least I'll speak for myself, but I'm sure I could speak for both of you guys in that respect. And for a lot of people who, you know, who are in similar situations, you know, a great thing. So sometimes, you know, there's things you can't do, and who knows when they'll be able to be done, the spectacular things. But some of the simple things that maybe there wasn't enough time to do in the past, there definitely is now. And that's been a pretty sweet thing in a time of tremendous unrest and uncertainty and obviously tragedy on many levels.
That's really well put, Al. So in addition to the story about Freddie Says I mentioned, we also just threw up a story, I believe from 2012, when Yankee Stadium was lit, is the headline. It's about the first night game at Yankee Stadium. You know, I hope you'll stick with us. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk about some projects we're working on for the future. But again, we're kind of at the mercy of the baseball gods right now, and we'll see what happens. But definitely one joy for me has been the work, like I said, that Nate has done in kind of unearthing some of these older stories and figuring out ways, along with Gary Phillips and Shade Crinks Rifles, to get these online. So I hope that you all will go to yankees.com/magazine. And while we wait for current real-time content, at least enjoy some of the stuff from the past. So it's a cool project we're working on. Check it out. In the meantime, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back to, like I said, discuss a few things that we have coming up someday. So stick with us.
Hi, this is Gleyber Torres. You are listening to Yankees Magazine Podcast.
Deep to left. Yastrzemski will not get it. Home run.
Bucky Dent,
the Yankees now lead it by a score 3-2.
Hey folks, it's Bucky Dent. I'm proud to be part of a new podcast on Yankees Magazine Podcast Network called Deep the Left with Bucky Dent. Every other Tuesday, we'll bring you a new episode chatting about great moments from Yankee history with some of my best friends from a career in the game. We'll look at what's happening with the current team, share some memories, and no surprise, we'll even discuss a little homer I hit one incredible day in Fenway Park. Download Deep the Left with Bucky Dent at yankees.com/podcasts or at the podcast app of your choice. Can't wait to speak with you soon.
This episode is also brought to you by MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand with MLB.tv. Your subscription also includes the MLB app Premium, allowing you to stream live baseball with your favorite supported devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details. Welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us. And someday, as I pointed out, baseball will come back. Al, I mentioned before, I liked your optimism that it'll be soon.
Thank you.
We have, while we've been away, we've been not only working on some stuff to get ready for this moment, but we've been working on things that we prepared back when the world seemed kind of normal during spring training. I think it's interesting, as we wait to get the stuff up and as we wait to figure out exactly both what our publishing schedule is going to be and what the world is going to look like, and certainly what baseball is going to look like, I thought we could at least just talk a little bit about some of these projects that have been on our mind for the last couple of weeks and months. There's a million reasons that I'm frustrated and bummed and upset and scared and anxious. One thing that I'm really disappointed about is, Nate, I was really looking forward to reading that piece on Rachel Balcovich, a minor league hitting coach for the Yankees. Nate, you got to speak to her during spring training. What can we look forward to in that story?
Yeah, I was really excited to speak with Rachel. Like you mentioned, she was hired by the Yankees as a hitting coach down in the minor leagues. She works with a lot of the younger guys. I think she was gearing up to be kind of stationed working with like the Gulf Coast League guys this year. But obviously that was before everything got shut down. But we had just an amazing conversation. I read a lot of articles about her, but also she has a blog, and I was reading like all of her postings before we spoke, and I just kind of knew she was going to be awesome to talk to. She's just got a really great outlook on life, and sure enough, it was a phenomenal interview. She was just could not have been cooler, and then after that, she allowed our photographer Ari Goldman Heck to really spend a lot of time with her down in Tampa and get some great, great photos. So I'm really excited about that story. We spoke for a long time. I'll probably try and circle back and speak to her again before we actually publish the story, just because so much time has elapsed. Although, our conversation was really kind of like a lot of big picture stuff. I mean, obviously being the first female coach in Yankees history, that's sort of a big ticket item that, it doesn't matter when that story runs, it's always going to be of interest. But she was just great. And I really think, readers are going to enjoy getting to know her a little bit and finding out what she's all about.
That's so much fun. I really can't wait to read that one. Al, we mentioned this a little bit yesterday when we were having a phone call of our own. Mm-hmm. What I am used to is being in your office on a daily basis and getting regaled with stories about the latest race, your run that morning, anything of the sort. Partly it's something you do because your boss wants to talk to you about it. You listen. I will say another part of it is because, as you've mentioned, you've basically been working on one story about these races for years now. And that was a story that was going to run fairly soon. Obviously, it still will run. This has been there are labors of love. And then there's this story for which you have, you must have really loved it for all the miles you've put on. But you have been essentially tracing Babe Ruth's life in the course of road races. And I'd love if you would talk a little bit about what readers can look forward to in that story.
A couple of years ago, I had this idea. I was doing a race, a 10K race up at the base of the National Baseball Hall of Fame. And the way that the course was laid out was where the last, I think, half mile or so kind of detoured off of Main Street, went onto this side road and then kind of, weaved its way back to Main Street and then back to Doubleday Field. So I asked the former president of the Hall of Fame, Jeff Idelson, another, a marathon runner and avid runner and good friend of mine, why did this road detour the way that it did? And he explained that when they had the first Hall of Fame induction, which was 1939, the inductees, including Babe Ruth, got off at this old train station and walked basically that mile from that train station to where the Hall of Fame is now. And that's where the ceremony was. So it kind of made me think about, that was a really cool race. I did really well in it. I think I placed third or something, and that was really cool. And I started to think, boy, this is really neat. I literally ran, the steps that Babe Ruth walked when he was, going to this seminal event in his life, getting into the Hall of Fame and being part of the first class. So I'm driving home from Cooperstown, and I started to think about other opportunities that I had to run races that trace the steps of not just any moments in his life, but seminal moments in his life. And I started very quickly just to kind of brainstorm. And I was planning to, I think that summer, I was already registered for a race at Fenway Park, where, of course, his Major League Baseball began. I had already run the Baltimore Half Marathon. That was really neat because where he was born in the house that his family then moved to a couple of years later in the Inner Harbor there in Baltimore, were also on the route. So it was like, okay, well, that was certainly a seminal moment in your life. I think, you know, your birth is probably has to count as a kind of a big moment. So I had that and then just started to kind of compile all these different unique destinations and races, including the Boston Marathon, which I ran in last year in 2019. I will say it was really fun to run the races. And as you guys know, because I've talked to you so much about this story, it was, I think, almost as much fun doing the research and uncovering, you know, these uncovered, you know, gems of knowledge and information about his life.
Well, I have to say, years ago, I ran the New York City Marathon with CeCe Sabathia's charity, the Pitch In Foundation, and I was very open in the story about essentially taking like a day and a half to finish it. I think it was actually just under 6 hours. Meanwhile, you like just, you know, toss in there, oh, I finished third in the race. So I think we've had a little bit different experiences with our running races. But Al, that is a really cool story. I remember back in the day when you called me into your office and asked me to teach you how to run a mile. And I didn't really know how to do that in an office setting, but I think you figured out how to run a mile and then some.
Yeah, you may have taught me too well. It's been fun. I've done, you know, the three marathons, Philadelphia, New York City, and Boston. And they've all been true, you know, highlights of my life. And, you know, among those races, you know, I tried to find some really unique races besides like the big city, you know, marathons that people know about. And, you know, one that I think helped make this story kind of unique or maybe even more unique than it already is was a race that I did last summer with a real close friend from home. I dragged him up to this very rural town in Massachusetts, Easton, Massachusetts, to a half marathon, basically sponsored and named after Narragansett beer. And the purpose of it was that it went through a couple of the towns that were in close proximity to where Babe Ruth had a farm up in Massachusetts. These very, very rural towns that he fell in love with when he played for the Red Sox. And of course, the other connection, as I've bragged to you guys about, was that this was a half marathon at a beer festival. And although Babe didn't really love running so much, he did love beers. So it was fun to run that race. It could have been a little bit more fun if it wasn't 95 degrees at the end of it, but definitely fun to raise a glass with a cold beer to the Babe after running 13 miles out, truly in God's country, which he fell in love with all those years ago.
Well, it's a really cool piece, and I know I look forward to reading it. I am sure our readers do too. It is, I have to say, one of the truly great things about our magazine is we do a lot of work on the nuts and bolts. We cover baseball very well, I would say. We know how to write about stats. We know how to write about narratives. We know how to write about people. I just don't think there's too many baseball publications that choose to pursue these topics in ways this unique, and I'm glad that we're able to do it. So that's a piece to look forward to. Obviously, I imagine the sequel to it as Al chases down the life of every single Yankees player in Monument Park and runs races in their lives. You can look forward to that in 2021 and 2022. The triathlon for the life of Mickey Mantle is going to be extremely interesting, I think, for everyone to look forward to.
I'm sure there's some great races in Commerce, Oklahoma. I just haven't found them yet.
Someday. No, it's just a great story, Al. Nice work on it. I think that I was inspired by your mention of, you know, drinking some beer in the Babe's honor. One thing that I've certainly been doing quite a bit of during these days of quarantine is drinking beers. Perhaps I could turn that into a story somehow. I'll keep brainstorming on how that could become a story.
I want to make sure
these are tax deductible or something of that nature. In reality, though, obviously, this is the kind of stuff that we look forward to, that we do in unique fashion, in great fashion. It's also, and if I can be a little earnest and sincere for a second, it's one of the hardest things for me about what's going on right now. And I mean this carefully. Obviously, there are true tragedies in the world right now, and there are things that, you know, can't be papered over with some good baseball coverage and things like that. I really love telling baseball stories, and I love writing about baseball. But one thing I know that we've all spoken about a lot over the years is how much I enjoy getting to travel to find baseball stories and to find interesting people. By virtue of working for the Yankees, I've spent a couple of days over several trips to the Dominican Republic, a place that I had never been before. And I've learned, and I like to say I haven't dropped in and, you know, gone to the beach or anything. I've really tried in the few days I've been there to learn as much as I can in those short trips about, you know, how people live and how they think and how they interact. And I hope we get back to a point where we get to not just watch baseball, but where we get to cover baseball in that way. There's obviously very glamorous trips that we get to take sometimes. And I don't know who from our department was going to be covering, say, the All-Star game this year, but it's very easy to psych yourself up to cover the All-Star game in Los Angeles, you know, spend 4 days in L.A. It doesn't have to be that, though. Some of my most memorable experiences writing about baseball have been in, you know, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, or Akron, Ohio, or, you know, any place like that. And I bring up the Dominican Republic because I got to spend some time earlier this year before any of this really broke out in America with Jason Dominguez down there, who I've been fascinated about since I started reading about him a few years ago. And let me assure you, was 70 to 80 times more fascinating than I expected. But that's something that I think about constantly is we'll get baseball back. Like you've said, Al, I really can't wait to find the way to get back to telling these stories that we're so excited about. And frankly, it might take a little while. You know, we're not going to be traveling as much just because the world's not ready for things like this to happen yet. But I know, and I'm grateful for the ways that Yankees Magazine writers have stuck with us up to this point. I'm grateful for the ways that our bosses have always supported the storytelling efforts and initiatives that we take on. And I know I really, whether it's 2021 or 2022 or whenever it is that we can really, really get after it in this way again, I'm just so excited to get back on the road someday to find interesting people and interesting stories to tell. Because if there's one thing that I think Yankees Magazine can hang its hat on, it's that we do try to find these unique ways of telling stories. We do try to find these unique angles and these interesting people. And that is over 40 years what's made this magazine so special.
It's something I've talked about for a long time. It's truly a labor of love. You know, whether I'm writing, you know, about, you know, Babe Ruth and running races, or, you know, any of our current players, it doesn't really matter. Getting to have the opportunity to really infiltrate the lives of these great players in ways that really no other news or media outlet is able to do. The way you're able to do that when you are, you know, with a player that just signed with the Yankees in the Dominican Republic or wherever it may be is special. It lends itself not only to special stories, but special experiences. That's what I love about this podcast. That's what I love about, you know, ways that we promote, you know, really the backstory to the story that you read in the magazine or that you see online. Is there's always the story behind the story. You don't go to the Dominican Republic and spend a couple of days with a player without taking home amazing anecdotes that don't even make the pages of Yankees Magazine.
Like I said, someday it's going to be back. Someday we're going to get to do this stuff again. Someday we're all, I don't just mean the three of us, I mean all of our listeners, I mean Yankees fans everywhere, baseball fans everywhere, we're all going to be back together. In the meantime, this has been one of the hardest weeks of my life, just watching some horrible things on television, reading all these things. And I just hope that, you know, we can all find some ways to join together and listen to the people around us and hear what people are saying. And I hope everyone stays safe And I hope that we come around on the other side of this a stronger society and everything of that nature. But guys, just for about an hour here, it's been good to talk about baseball for a little bit because it's kind of hard to talk about anything else right now. So if everyone will just do everything you can to listen to the people who are talking to you and hear the messages that they have to tell you. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. We will be back in 2 weeks. Obviously, as we know anything about, you know, when we're going to start publishing again or when the magazine will come back, the best way to find out stuff of that nature is by following us at Yanks Magazine on Twitter. Of course, you know, the stories that we mentioned that we've put up recently, you can be looking for those at yankees.com/magazine. Please make sure to go to yankees.com/podcasts or wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to this, the Yankees Magazine podcast, but also our other show, Deep to Left with Bucky Dent, which is getting better and better every week. I hope that you'll agree if you listen. And that's that. We'll speak to y'all in 2 weeks. I think that hopefully 2 weeks we're talking differently and we know a little bit more and the world's, you know, a little better and a little calmer. But in the meantime, guys, thanks for chatting. I'll speak to y'all soon.
Hi, this is Adam Ottavino. For more stories like these, subscribe to Yankees Magazine by visiting yankees.com/publications or by calling 800-GO-YANKS.
The MLB Ballpark app will complete your next visit to Yankee Stadium. Buy and manage game tickets, redeem special check-in offers, access exclusive content, and much more. Download the MLB Ballpark app today.